Let's go to Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, and let's stand in honor of reading God's word. Revelation 7, verse 9. And the word says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, and peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. Let's pray. Father God, I come to you this morning, Lord, and I praise you and I honor you, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, I thank you for those that have came this morning, Lord God, to hear your word, Lord God. And I pray, God, as we open up your word, God, and as we go through it and continue to go through the book of Revelation, Lord God, that you would give us understanding of it. Father, that you would just bless our hearts, Lord God. And I pray that if there's one here that's not certain, Lord God, about their salvation, Lord God, I pray that they'd make their way to you today, God. It would be hearers of your word, Lord God, and do what your word says, Lord. And Father, I just pray that you'd use me now that I could get back and get out of the way, Lord God. And Father, you could speak through me to your people, Lord God. And Father, that we'd open our ears and hear what you say. Father, we'll give you the praise and give you the honor. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I have been studying other things this week, but God brings us back to Revelation this morning as we continue our study in Revelation. And just a quick recap, we are in chapter 7, verse 9, and if you remember the week before last, in the first of chapter 7, there was God called four angels to come to the earth, and the angels held back the wind, and they completely stopped all the things that were going on the earth. And this is the midway point of the book of Revelation and the tribulation, and it's the midway point of the tribulation period. And as I said at the beginning of chapter 4, I believe that the church, that we the church, the people that believe in God, that are giving their life to God and have lived the life that God has given them, I believe at the end of chapter 4, we're raptured up out of this. And then after chapter 4, chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, on through, is the tribulation period. But in the beginning of chapter 7 is a midway point of the tribulation period. I believe it's like 7.5 years left in the tribulation period. And we're going to read this morning about those that came out of tribulation. And what a wonderful thing it is to know that there's going to be people that come out of the tribulation period that may have thought they had no hope. You see, you and I have hope this morning, whether if we're drawing breath this morning, whether we have given our life to God, whether we're living in sin, there is a hope for us. And even in that day, there will be hope because Christ said that he loved the sinner until he took his last breath. And, you know, back several years ago, I didn't believe anybody was coming out of the Great Tribulation except 144,000 people. But if you read this, and as we continue to go through Revelation, there will be other people that come out beside these that we're going to talk about this morning. But the thing that I want to talk about this morning is something that I think the church is missing. And it has been dealing with me this week. It deals with me every Sunday here lately, but of course the Lord says that in the day and time we live, that there's going to be a time that people fall away from church and quit coming from church and coming to church. And the government is doing everything in the world to fool us, to lie to us, to deceive us, to keep it. They want to shut the church down. And the coronavirus was bad. Now they're coming up with the monkeypox. And when that's over with, they're doing everything that they can do to keep people from coming to church. And there are people that have sat in these pews that are not here this morning and have not been since the coronavirus started and probably won't come again because they're just scared to death. Well, Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 tells us what we're going to be doing in heaven. And that's what the Lord wants, that we come to church to praise and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should get up every day praising the Lord Jesus Christ because He is our Lord, He is our hope, He is our only hope. Verse 9 says, now after God held the wind up, there would the tribes of Israel come out of the tribulation period. I read the tribes of Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. All those tribes have came out of the tribulation. And in my Bible, it says a great multitude from the great tribulation. And so after the wind, remember that there's a terrible storm going on the earth. There are all kind of bad things happening. You think bad things are happening today? Nothing compared to what's going to happen in this day. But God saw fit, and He sees fit several times during this tribulation period to stop everything. And He sent angels to the north, south, east, and west to hold up the winds. And verse 9 starts out, and it says, after these things, after all of that, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne, before the Lamb. Think what that says. Not only is there going to be Jewish people, these tribes of Jews come out, but it also says, the Bible says, and remember, John is writing this, and God is telling him to write down everything that he sees, and he says, after these things I look, and behold, a great multitude no one could number, of all nations and tribes and tongues, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches in their hand, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. What are these people doing? Number one is not only the Jewish people that are brought out of the midway point of tribulation. There is people of all tribes and all tongues, every race, every human being on the face of earth, of every nation, of every tribe, is brought out. And it's, what are they doing? It says, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne of the Lamb. And the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. So many people today, so many churches today have got so lax in that very thing. We come to church to worship God. That is the reason we come to church. We don't come to church where everybody can see us. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 27 or 28 there, it says, do not forsake the gathering ourselves together, that we are to come into the house of the Lord to worship Him. People, look around you. If people don't want to come to church here this morning, why in the world, what do you think we're going to do when we get to heaven? The Bible says, I just read in the last chapter, the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, that all of these tribes, these millions of people, there's 14 tribes of Jews, they all have came out of the tribulation, and it says, no one could even number. There's so many people that can't come out of this midway point in the book of tribulation that in the tribulation period that nobody, it says nobody can even count them. Think about the smart people in this world. Think about all the people in this world that they think they know everything. You can't even count the people that is before the throne and look what they're doing. It says, the Bible says, they were crying. It says that they had palm branches. Remember when Jesus came into the city? They bowed down on their knees because they knew He was the King. They waved the palm branches, And you know, it does good. There's four or five of y'all around here that holler amen every once in a while. But we're scared to open up our mouth. We're scared to sing songs to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. And in heaven, these people, let me tell you something. Not only do you and I have something to praise God about this morning, we have the reason to praise God because He has saved us from all these bad things that's going to happen, that He is protecting us while we're here on this earth. These people have came out of the book of the the tribulation period, and they are before the throne of God. Believe me, they know what it is to worship because they have come out of hell. Remember all the things that have happened? Remember the sun and the moon had been darkened as sackcloth? Remember the meteorites that have fallen from the earth, that the islands and the mountains have been shifted and been moved out of place? People were dying by the millions. And these people have came out of the tribulation period, and what are they doing? They are before the throne of God, and they are worshiping Him. We won't even raise our hands. We won't even sing. We won't even do what God wants us to do. And God has saved us from every... You know, I say, God has saved you from dying this morning. You say, what are you talking about? It is appointed everybody to die. Yeah, but if you're a Christian, when you die, you're going to go before God. As it says in Hebrews, 9:7, you're going to... When you die, it is appointed to man to die, and then he will be judged. But when you walk before Jesus Christ, if you're His child, you walk into a new life. You never die. Why? Because you have been saved by the grace of God. These people realize now they came out of a terrible time. We read a couple of weeks ago, or just a couple of verses back, that it is the most terrible time, that nothing has ever happened on the earth like is happening at this point, and nothing will ever happen again. They have came out of that, and they are before the throne of God, and they are worshiping Him. We won't worship God, people. We're scared to open up our mouth. You sitting there looking at me right now, like, what? We have to praise God. Don't be ashamed to praise God. Jesus wasn't ashamed when He drug that cross to the Via Della Rosa, was beaten and beaten and torn and tattered and torn and hung on that cross. He wasn't ashamed of you. He did not turn His back on us. Sometimes we turn our back on Him, and oh, how He loves us. But it's embarrassing. We don't want to praise God because we want to go. You know, you say, well, the Bible says that don't do like the Pharisees do and stand on the street corner and pray. He's talking about praying. He's not talking about praising. Praise God, people. Every day when you get up in the morning, these people are praising the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read it again. The Bible says, after these things, after God stopped the storm, after He held back the winds, can you imagine? I know Brother Charlie has, and probably some of y'all. Have you ever been out on the ocean when the waves stopped, the wind stops? It's weird. Just flat as nothing. There is earthquakes. As I said, the moon and stars, the moon and the sun have turned to black. The stars have fallen. The mountains and the islands have moved out of place. And God stops all that. And all of a sudden, He brings all this multitude of people to heaven with you and I that's already there waiting on them. And we, what do you think? Look what it says. Verse 10, it says, and crying out with a loud voice. Now let me back up. Let me go ahead and read the whole thing. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, and people, tongues, standing before the throne, and before the Lamb, before God, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, clothed with white robes. Remember the robes? Remember the robes in chapter 6, verse 11? It says, then a white robe was given to each of them, And it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both numbers of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was complete. And when it come time, God brought them out of the tribulation. They were clothed in them white robes with palm branches in their hands. They had palm branches in their hands. They were praying before God. They were worshiping God. And it says, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne of God, worshiped God, saying, amen, blessed and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be our God forever and ever. Amen. These people were praising God. Why don't we praise God? Why are we scared to raise our hand? How many times you been singing a song or like we were singing a while ago? I can't hardly sing the songs that we sang a while ago without praising God, without raising my hand. I don't care if anybody don't like it or not. It don't make no difference. If God tells me to raise my hand, I'm going to raise my hand. If God tells me to try to do a double flip off here, I'm going to try to do it. I probably, without Him, I'd break my neck. But, you know, if God tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. Why do we quit? Why do we not worship God? Why do we not care? Jesus Christ saved us. I want to go back to some... I knew God was going to tie all this together before it was over with. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. I'm going to use this today. I didn't know it was. God has a way of tying everything together. Hebrews 10, verse 11. Remember in Hebrews, the writer is told it's a great cloud of witnesses, and he names all the people in the Old Testament that have been worshiping God and that have done great things for God, and those that hadn't even done great things for God, but they're all before God. And in verse 11, he says, he tells it just the way it is. Just the way it is. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the sacrifice which can never take away sin. You hear what that says? Yeah. This world that we live in is offering you everything in the world. They have got you scared to death because there is only one that can save you, and that is Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and every priests stand before, there are preachers in the pulpit, there are priests in the churches today, there are Hebrews, the Jewish people, all kind of every tribe that we talked about in Revelation, there are people standing, leaders of the church, standing in the pulpit today that are scared to open up our mouth about Jesus Christ, about praising Jesus Christ, about doing anything to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all about that because God tells us right here, He says that these ministers are standing in the pulpit, these priests are standing in the church, they're in the confession booths, they are in all these places, and it says, and every priest stands ministering daily and offers repeatedly the same sacrifice which can never take, can never. You understand what never means? Can never. In other words, if you're doing the things that the way that the church tells you to do, the church is not God's church. If you're doing the things that they tell you to do, you're not going nowhere. You're just stuck in the mud and you're spinning your wheels and you're going to be spinning your wheels when all this tribulation period happens. Because Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. He is our only hope. Verse 12 says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, pay attention. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, one sacrifice forever, sat down at the right hand of God. What did he sit down for? It's finished. It's done. Jesus Christ paid the price. He has completed it all. It is over with. It is finished. You don't have to go to no man. I'm going to hush because I'm going to go to that. We may be at 12:30 today. Amen. Jesus Christ died for your sin. But this man, talking about Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by offering, he hath protected forever those who are being sacrificed. But the Holy Spirit also witnessed to us. For after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them for those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their heart and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins, pay attention to this right here, pay attention to believe this next. Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Do you hear what Jesus said? Their sins and lawlessness I will, I'm through with them. I forget it. It's just like I've told y'all 1,000 times. Jesus, when you got all them sins in your life, and he went to the cross, he shed his blood, he done away with sin, and the Bible tells us, the writer of Hebrews tells us that there will now where there is remission of these sins, there is no longer any offering for sin. Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. You got all that he writes. You got this book up there, and every time you sin, it's written in this book. And when you come before the Lord Jesus Christ and you say, Father, forgive me, I believe that you died on that cross, that like the book of Hebrews says in chapter 10, verse 11, that you gave your life, that you died for sins, I believe that and I accept you, and I want to try to live for you the rest. He takes and he wipes all that away. And he turns around and he walks away from it and he never sees it again. Never, ever again. When he went to that cross on Calvary, he finished it. It was done. He died. And that's the reason these people that came out of the tribulation period in Revelation chapter 7 are standing before him praising God. You and I are the same way. God saved us from wickedness, from the things of this world, from death, as I said a while ago before I got in. He saved us from death. We go from Jesus, from this life, we step into eternity because we know Jesus Christ. He has saved us. He done it for us. Why don't we want to give him the glory and the praise? Because that's what we're going to be doing in heaven. He goes on to say here, since you and I have given our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, therefore, brethren, in verse 19, having boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, I've said this a bunch of times in the last 15 years since I've been here, but you see, in the Old Testament, they had to go to the priest, and the priest entered the Holy of Holies, which was in the sanctuary, which was in the church, but there was this place in the church, the Holy of Holies, where he took the sacrifices. And this place, why I say it was 30 and a half by 30 and a half by 30 and a half, it was square, 30 and a half. That priest would go into this place once a year. And when he went into this place, as it says in verse 11, it says, and every priest stands ministering daily and offers repeatedly the same sacrifice which can never take away sin. That priest went into the Holy of Holies, and he offered this sacrifice. And what was the sacrifice? They slaughtered lambs. They slaughtered bulls. They slaughtered calves. It was bloody. It was death. That's what it was. And God said it didn't do any good, so he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world. And he says because of what Jesus went through on that cross at Calvary, that we can boldly come before the throne of God. Goes on to say here, by a new and living covenant. You see, there was death involved in the old sacrifice that didn't do anything. There was death of bulls, of cows. There was blood everywhere. It was not a pretty sight at all because there was death. And God says he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world so that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Would have everlasting life. You see what God is saying? He said, and now we can come boldly before the throne. Verse 20 says, by a new and living covenant, which he consecrated for us through the veil of the flesh. Like through Jesus Christ. When Jesus was hanging on that cross, I think it's in Matthew 27:51, it says, when Jesus was hanging on that cross and he bowed his head, he hollered, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, you have forsaken me. And then the next time, it is finished. When he said it was finished, the veil in that temple that I was talking about in the square, in the Holy of Holies, that veil ripped from the bottom to the top or the top to the bottom. It ripped, okay? And when it ripped, top to the bottom. And when it ripped, it made way that we don't have to cover ourselves. We don't have to do anything special. We don't have to, we don't have to grow our beard down to beside our plumb to our shoulder length, like the Old Testament said. Women, you don't have to cover your head up. You are now free to go before God any way you are. And that's what people tell me every day. I want to come to church, but I got to stop doing this. I got to stop. You don't have to stop nothing because God will take you just as you are. The old song says, just as I am. Just as I am, I will save you. God wants you to come to him. He has already taken care of the sin. What did I just read a while ago? He said, your sins, I remember no more. It's done with. It's over with. It is done. Why can't we accept that? Why can't we accept God? Why can't we preach God's word like it needs to be preached? Why can't we teach it? Why can't we tell those that are dying and going to hell? There are going to be those in this book of tribulation that I talked about a while ago that's not going to come out of that because they just never would accept it. Verse 22 says, and Lord, Lord, pay attention to the rest of this. He says, let us draw near with a true heart. And I'll stop right there. In full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What's that saying? God is saying, let us come, draw near to him with a pure, with a clean. Let us draw near to him and give him the glory is what it's saying. Give him the glory. Give him the praise. Why don't we do that no more? I miss it. You don't know how many people in the Oakhurst since I've been back and I was raised in this church have come by here and they see that sign out there that says Oakhurst Full Gospel Church and it scares them to death because they think we're snake charming or are we doing something that, you know, jumping benches and hollering and screaming. Well, people, if God tells you to jump a bench and holler and scream, do it. Amen. Praise God. Whatever you got to do, do it. You're free to do that here. But what we're doing, the full gospel means that I'm not going to leave anything out. I'm going to tell you the way it is. And if you don't like it, that's too bad. That's between you and God. I'm telling you what God's word says. And God says we as people need to praise him right here today and need to thank him. You realize what a great verse that verse 17 is? Their sin and their lawless deeds will be remembered no more. What does no more? Do you realize what that means? That means that all that stuff that you're burdened with, all Jesus died for it, and let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. There is not nothing in this world that you could, that, you know, I tell my wife all the time, we watch the Cooking Channel and we record movies here lately. We've been watching Little League Baseball World Series. But the advertisements on TV, when I was a kid, you couldn't even done it because if there's not nakedness or cussing on the advertisement, they're lying every word they say. They try, and on this telephone, they try to bombard you daily with everything that they can. I get message after message. I tell them, well, it's crazy. They use people's names that I know. Somehow they know that, you know. God said that's going to be able to do that in the day we live in. And I get all these, I don't even open them. I just erase them. But they bombard us with all this stuff. There's not a one of us that here that don't have one of these cell phones in our pocket. And Joan and I, for our 48th anniversary, went up to Wembley, Texas, just took it easy a few days this week, and we're sitting in a restaurant, and everybody in the restaurant, there was a coffee place there, and everybody in the restaurant, they're looking, the world is feeding you with all of that junk and all of them lies. Instead of that, you need to open it. If you're going to use that telephone when you're sitting there and not talking to your friends or your loved ones, or what you should be doing when you're eating is fellowshipping with your friends, that's what Jesus did when he had the Lord's Supper. But we need to come boldly to him, and we need to put away all this junk that the law. I told her yesterday, I said, I'm going to throw this telephone against that wall, and I don't know what I'm going to do when I do it. See, they got us. They got us. Yeah. They got us. But they want us to believe all of these lies, but we can be assured. We can be guaranteed through this word right here. This word has been here forever, and it'll be here forevermore of everything on this earth. One day will burn and be destroyed, and there's only one thing that's going to stand, and that's the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. This is the only thing that's going to stand. This is it. There ain't nothing else. Excuse my friend. There ain't nothing else. You can buy into all these money deals they got on TV. You can buy into the insurance they got, the life insurance policies, all the lose weight things, you know. I can tell you about losing weight because I've lost 140 pounds in the last year and a half. You know how you quit losing weight? Poke and roll. Poke your feet under the table and roll your ass back. Don't eat. That's the way you lose weight. That's the true way. This is the true way to heaven right here. This right, there ain't no other way. You can try. Nothing, you can't buy your way there. You can't pay your way there. You can't work your way there. The only way that you can get there is putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. That's it. That's the only way. And he said, draw near with full assurance, faith having our hearts sprinkled with an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. You see what he said? Don't let the world get you to thinking that, well, maybe this Bible's not right. The devil tries that to me all the time? I can be riding down the road praising God or listening to a religious radio station or sitting in my chair reading the Bible at home, and the devil will be trying to tell me, that can't be true. You tell the devil to go to hell where he belongs. And you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because he is the only one. Let us hold fast of our hope without, don't waver. Be bold. Don't get in a crowd of people and you got seven people and you're number eight and all of them talking about how stupid the Bible is, how stupid the preacher was Sunday, and how stupid this is and how stupid that is. Tell them, I'm going to tell you something that's true. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Just tell them. Tell them John 3:16. That says it all. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's it. That's what it is. God wants you this morning to praise him, church. Not only today, get up in the morning praising him. You'd be surprised. Your ailments, God didn't promise us like the TV preachers do. He didn't promise everything. Once you confess Jesus Christ, your Savior, everything's going to be hunky-dory. It's not going to be. It's going to be worse. I tell you, just then the devil tempts me. Probably any of you that read God's Word and pray daily and try to do everything that you can do and fight this fight, And we're winning. We may slip back, but Jesus is there. He said, just don't waver. Just hang on. And we will one day reap our reward in heaven. One day we'll finish that fight. I'm telling you, this world is in a mess this morning. Let's hold fast to Jesus Christ, to the confession. Hold fast. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. I ain't through yet. Let us hold on to each other. Let me read the next verse. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Go read Matthew 24. Go read Timothy. Go read Thessalonians. Go read Daniel, Isaiah. The day of the Lord is coming. This old world is not going to never be like it was. You say it was like this, and it's never going to be that way. But you know what is going to be that way? I think about this morning. I'm talking about praising God, worshiping God, singing His song, doing what it is that God wants you to do. Those of us who want to do it, it's not going to never end. It hasn't stopped. God has not stopped in Oakhurst Full Gospel Church this morning. God's people have stopped. That's the problem. You see, we walk away from God and we decide to do it our way. We walk out that door and we forget about this church the next Sunday. You cannot do that. You cannot listen to what I say every Sunday and live a Christian life. You've got to get up every day and thank God and praise God and pray to God. And every time you stump your toe, you say, Lord, forgive me. You know why? Because none of us are perfect. And He says there is not one of us without sin. In James, it says that if there is not one of us without sin, and if you say you don't have no sin, you're lying. The truth's not in you. People, it is time that the church of God stand up and do what we're supposed to be doing. You say that all the time. When are we going to do it? Look around you this morning. 18 months ago, this church was full every Sunday. If everybody come and calls herself a member of this church, there couldn't be. Easter Sunday, there were 250, 300 people here. Where are they at today? Does God have church on Easter and Christmas Eve? Or does He have church 365 days a year, every day, 24 hours, 7 days a week? Or do we just come to church on Sunday morning and we listen to me and God bless you, listen to me? Because I have been known to butcher stuff up and get scriptures out of content, but I'm telling you only what God tells me to tell you. Jesus wants you as His church to pray. Jesus wants you as His church to study God's Word. Jesus wants you as His church to come to church on Sunday morning, to come to church on Wednesday night, to come to help the Awana's class, to come together as His people and fellowship for Him. And if you start doing it, you will have joy in your heart. We're scared to read God's Word. We're scared to tell somebody in the crowd of people that I was talking about a while ago. We're scared to stand up and say, no, y'all wrong. God said, if you just open your mouth, He's there. He's ready. He is. You see, when He said it was finished, it's finished. He has completed. It's over with. It's done. We're the ones that have stopped. God has not stopped. I say all the time, you know, I used to hear Brother Tommy and I talk about a lot. You could hear him at Doug Doley's store porch on Wednesday night. You could hear him praying and singing and praising God. Them people knew what God had brought them from. They realized what God had given them and what the reward they had coming. And they wasn't ashamed to pray. They wasn't ashamed to stand up in the middle when the preacher was preaching and say, hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. That's what God is telling. That is what these people are doing. In the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 7, Revelation 7, that multitude of people are standing before God and they are praising God with palm leaves just like they did on Palm Sunday. They are praising God. They are worshiping Him. Right now, today, God is here. You can worship Him today just like you worship Him up there. And if you don't like to worship, what you going to do when you get to hell? What are you going to do? If you don't like church, if you don't like to come to church, but every once in a while, if you had rather go to other places than go to church, then we're going to give them a taste in a minute. And as I do every Sunday, I'm going to ask from now on, as long as I'm here, I'm going to ask Christians to come down and pray. We don't have Sunday night services at all. We have this and Wednesday night, the prayer meetings, the Bible studies, the men's prayer breakfast. Today is the day. I sent out on my devotional this morning, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. He created every day. We need to rejoice every day and be glad that He is God. If you don't know Him this morning, come down here and pray. And all you got to do is say, God, forgive me. You don't have to. I can sit here and tell you what to pray, but let me tell you something. There's no formula that you have to do except, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. He already knows. He just wants you to ask. All you got to do is say, Lord, I messed up. I believe You died on that cross. I know that You arose from that grave. I know that You walked with people, that You ate, that You walked among 500 people and Your disciples. I believe that You've gone to prepare a place for me, that You're going to come back, and I want to just trust You in my life. Tell Him, Lord, I know I'm not going to be perfect, but we can be perfect through Him. Do you know Him this morning? Do you know Him? Let's stand. Christians praying. I'm going to ask you to come down here and get on your knees this morning. Christians, come down here and get on your knees. Father, I come to You right now. And Lord, I praise You. And Lord, I honor You. And I thank You this morning for all that You have given us, Lord God. And I pray right now, God, that we could just take just a few minutes. God, this may be all some of us take this week, just a few minutes, Lord, to just praise You, God, and to honor You and to look into Your holy face, Lord God, and just get ready for what we're going to do for eternity, Lord. God, You said there's things that, God, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, that You have stored up in heaven for us, Lord. God, thank You for that. And I pray for one here, God, that doesn't know You, that they do that right now, Lord. And we give You the praise, we give You the honor, we give You the glory. In Your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, God. Do you know Him this morning? Do you know Him?